Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. This is Nancy, and today I have a great guest on. She does a couple things or more, and we're going to talk with her, and we're going to get her on right now. So, hi, Margarita. How are you?
Fine, Nancy. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Marguerite, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself so they kind of know who you're talking with, who I'm talking with?
Okay, well, I am an astrologer, and I'm an author, and I'm a mom, and all of the above, and I was very, very interested years ago in astronomy, and that interest, after watching, like I'm sure many of your listeners did, Carl Sagan's wonderful series on the cosmos, I fell in love with the universe. And when I was studying it, not very in-depth from the very scientific, just from a very passionate level, I learned that our ancient astronomers, that at that time when our ancient astronomers were studying the heavens, astrology and astronomy were one science at that time. And that intrigued me, and I wondered why they ever became separated. So I started studying astrology, and I fell madly in love with astrology, became very passionate about it as a science. And then I started studying Edgar Cayce and all the questions that were left unanswered in the universe, the scientific universe that I was studying, all came together by bringing the one simple element of the spirit into it. And from then on, Nancy, there was no looking back for me, because I realized at that point that, to me at least, and I was brought up in a Catholic household, and this in no way, my belief system now in no way goes against anyone's religion. It's just a very spiritual understanding. I think what our ancient astronomers understood a long time ago, that this universe works divinely when it works, when science and spirit work together. I believe that we're spiritual beings having a mental experience in this physical world. And unless we recognize all of those levels that that energy vibrates on, this universe never really works for us. And when we do, I think we can have anything. I think then we're all tapped in to that ultimate collective consciousness where the abundance, the wisdom, and the power of the universe is ours for the taking. And that's when I started practicing astrology that way, where I started speaking to the soul that appeared to me in the birth chart. And I realized that when a soul comes into this incarnation, and I started doing research as such, that the energies that they are physically born into and under are basically a physical, a scientific, because it's physical, a very scientific documentation of their spiritual journey in this particular lifetime. And when I started addressing the birth chart in that manner, the results were so immediate with my immediate family and my children and my friends and my clients that I never eliminated it, and I just took it to new levels and new research. And it's like I said, there's been no turning back for me, because it works. It works on so many levels. And I find that my clients have a sense of fulfillment that they otherwise never had, when they realize that there's a part of them that was never really being addressed. And I think that the really neat part about it is when we go into anyone's workshop, or we go into get advice from anyone, all of us, because we're human and the ego is necessary down here on planet Earth, we tend to get a little defensive when we're told what we're doing wrong. The really neat part about this philosophy and this concept is, by addressing the soul and the birth chart, we're letting the human part of us off the hook. We weren't around for Universal Law 101. The soul was. So the soul knows what it agreed to in this lifetime. And basically, I'm asking the ego to get the soul up off the couch and work on this together. And then the results are incredible.
This sounds great. Now, the book that I have that I read called Cosmic Karma, can you explain a little bit about, you know, I know you went into it a little bit just now, but can you explain a little bit more as to how you use the charts in this particular book? Because they're a little different than the other ones.
Sure. I've said this to other people, too. We've had really great conversations. I think the birth chart is, I think we're just finding out all the different things that we can find out in our own birth chart. Because when you think of it, it's a universal snapshot of the very moment that we took our first independent breath in this incarnation, in this lifetime. And I think there's so much more to it that we're just starting to discover now. And it is a physical documentation of that particular blinding, brilliant moment in time when we began on this physical planet. And I also believe because it is that, it's a celestial reflection of the soul's evolution, in the sense of not what everything the soul has done before, but the soul's immediate past that directly affects this. It's like looking back at the fifth grade when you're coming into the sixth, simply because those are the things that are necessary to remember. Nothing that really happened way before. That doesn't mean we won't have these flashes of recognition, and that we don't have dreams, and that some of us aren't so psychic they can remember many, many lives ago. But what I see in the birth chart, especially in particular in the 12th house, I see the soul's most recent past, and that's extremely helpful to the soul in this lifetime, when sometimes the most recent past are talents or gifts that they've buried or suppressed because of improper programming, or fears that they've walked away from, lessons they haven't learned. These are all the things that the soul said, you know what, I promise to come back in this lifetime because I'm trying to evolve to a higher place and address these things. So wouldn't it be really nice if we remembered them? Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, because the unconscious part of us is the one that made this agreement with the universe. The conscious part of us kind of ignores it, and that, you know, it takes us lifetimes sometimes to remember the things that we said we were going to do. So I think it's really significant that the minute the soul is held accountable for where it wanted to evolve and where it wanted to go, there's no stopping us. And people say to me, well, what exactly is karma? And I always say it's not the voodoo or the karmic payback that most people think it is. It's not even close. In fact, many people think it's a Hindu word that means fate, and that's true, but that's only half of it. It's actually a Hindu word that means the soul's fate. And that's really an important distinction I tell people, because based on that definition, the word karma means nothing more than those inevitable circumstances that the soul is forced to endure in the afterlife as a result of everything it did or didn't do during the course of the current one. So as a result, as most physicists agree, that's not that different from the physical version, Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's no different than what most every religious teaching teaches us, accountability for the soul. So that is what karma is, and that's what is very, very clear in the birth chart, based on those natal energies we're born under, is our karma if we look for it. We just have to know where to look. It's what we said we were going to come back and do.
Now, I have a question for you. Since they decided that Pluto was no longer a planet, how does that affect the way maybe you would do a reading, or, you know, in your book it's called Your Karmic Arsenal, but if they decide Pluto's not a planet, then how do you relate to that?
Well, you know, it's so funny, because that makes no difference to me or any good astrologer. And you know what it's like, Nancy? It's like someone coming in saying, oh, they just found out that God isn't this. You know, as far as I'm concerned, these are the energies that work. Whatever we want to call it, arose by any other name, has the same influence and the same energy. If our physical scientists today want to call it something, that's fine, but that does not change its influence in the universe as far as I'm concerned. And I see it as a planet, and I see it as a very powerful planet, just the way our ancient astronomers saw it.
Okay. I think that little signal meant that we have a caller, so let's see if there's a caller on the line.
Sure.
Hello? Is there a caller there?
Yeah, hi. Kim from Louisiana. Sorry.
And Kim, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to ask about maybe upcoming relationship issues. And not so long ago, separating from my husband, and I was wondering if either one of you could give me like a little mini reading.
Okay, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
If you wait like another, say, 20 minutes,
yeah,
because I'd really like to, you know, get Marguerite giving out a little bit more information, and then after that.
Okay, I'll call back.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Yeah, bye.
So that way, Marguerite, we can still talk and go on, and then later we'll let some people call in, okay?
Sure, sure.
Also in your book, the cosmic karmic, you use the sun sign, because you don't really use all of them. You use the sun sign, you use Saturn, you use Neptune, you use Pluto, and then you go into the 12th house, which you kind of talked about. But, you know, everybody else will look at something and they'll go, okay, well, you're in this house and you're in that house. But you broke it down a little differently. So So the sun sign, I would imagine, is pretty important. Can you explain why that may be so important?
Sure. The sun is the sun. Any aspect of this star that's 93 million miles from us is a very major part of any astrology, no matter what type you're practicing. And that's because the sun represents you in one way or another. In karmic astrology, it just represents your soul. In regular astrology, it represents you. But in every form of astrology, it represents you in one way or another. Now, the sun sign, I think, you know, most people tend to think of astrology as just the sun sign. In my chart, they're both significant. The sign or constellation that every planet in the sky was wending its way through at the moment of our birth in karmic astrology, in particular in my book, Cosmic Karma, indicates your soul's past, what your soul did with those energies in a previous life and what it brought into this life. What did it earn? So if your sun is wending its way through the constellation of Gemini, or let's take you, for instance, Nancy, if your soul, when you came into this incarnation, your soul was wending its way through the constellation of Leo. And what that tells me is this is what your soul, this is the level of authority and expertise that your soul earned in its most previous life to this one. And that might have taken three lifetimes to earn that Leo degree, Nancy, but you earned it fair and square, which means your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to expertly radiate, confidently celebrate life, power, love, and talent, which means you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to skillfully generate and honorably glorify all those basic internal powers of spirited vitality, courageous leadership, and creative brilliance. That's why it's second nature to you to be very leonine. That's why it's second nature to you to walk into a room and get attention. You learned how to do it. Your soul knows it like falling off a log. But what did you tell the universe you were going to do with that degree? And that's your sun house. So every single one of the houses is the contract. Those are the clauses. The Neptune house is your Neptune clause. The Saturn house is your Saturn clause. The sun house is where you promise to shine, to take that degree and shine brilliantly. It's the solar clause in your contract. Every single one of the constellations is where in your previous life you earned those energies to use that planet's influence in this lifetime. And where you promise to use it is the sun's placement. So the mathematical correlation to the Earth, which is the house placement, is what you said you were going to do with the constellation energies of that planet. And I think when it's broken down that way, it makes it very easy to understand. And people say to me, well, then all Leos alike? No more so than all teachers are alike. No more so than all doctors are alike. That's your degree. But just like there is so much more to every doctor than just the degree they earned, there's so much more to every Leo than just that. There's where your Saturn is. There's where your Neptune is. There's where your Pluto is. There's where your 12th house is. That makes up who you are, Nancy, but there's no doubt about it. You earned a Leo degree, and you're here in this lifetime to use it. And that's, we tend to put everything on just the sun sign. And while that's a major part of your contract, it's certainly not the only part.
Mm-hmm. It's funny when people call and go, oh, Nancy, I read my daily horoscope today, and, you know, this is blah, 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 blah. And I stop and I go, you know, that's just kind of a generic. It's not necessarily going to be what you're thinking because it's not just designed for you.
And that's what's great about the dailies. And a very good friend of mine writes the dailies. And these astrologers have to be really on the top of their game and very good at what they do in the math and science department to write these dailies. And that's another thing. They apply to a very different aspect of astrology. They apply to the transits in the sky. The astrologer has to take what's happening in the sky and directly correlated to the Leo constellation. So, yes, it will have an effect on Leos. But like you said, that's not the whole story to what makes up a Leo. And there's so much more to, you know, it's your cosmic DNA is so much more than just your sun sign.
Yeah, and so I kind of laugh when people tell me that. It's like, yeah, well, there's a little bit more to it. You know, and I said, you're not going to just learn it, you know, overnight. It takes time to learn how to do the astrology of any kind because it's a study. It's not like when I do the cards, you know, I just sat down and I can do them. It's not like that, you know.
It is in a sense that that's your tool for your intuitive ability and you're brilliant at it. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is that just like a meteorologist has all the information in front of them, but there's a certain instinct that they have to rely on to read it properly. So does an astrologer. And everybody, and I think you'll agree with me on this, Nancy, everybody in this lifetime has their particular tool to be intuitive, to tap into their spirit. And whatever they choose to use it, if they really rely on it, really trust it, really have faith in it, and really do the homework to learn how to use it correctly, everyone could be intuitive to some level because we all have access to that part of our unconscious.
Mm-hmm. And I do agree with that because, you know, in my opinion, everybody does have, you know, some kind of intuitiveness in them. It's just if they choose to listen to it or to follow it.
Right.
You know, so that's, and so I do agree with you. Now, let's go back to your book here, The Cosmic Karma, because I read through the book and I used myself, I used my daughter, and I used my granddaughter. You know, so three different ways of looking at it, because the way you broke it down is, you know, depending on where the Saturn is in your, you know, in your own particular sign, or Neptune, or
right.
in Pluto. So if you would break this down just a little bit more, okay,
mm-hmm.
as to the Sun, Saturn, Neptune, Pluto, or the 12th house, which do you think would be the most important to read and understand, you know, for the listeners first, and then, you know, go on from there?
Where I always start when I'm doing a karmic reading for someone, I always start at the 12th house. And I start at the 12th house for the reason that I call it in the birth chart your karmic closet. I look at the sign on the 12th house, and I look at the planets in the 12th house and what aspects they're making to other planets, mathematical aspects, and I get a background of the soul. I get a background. This is like the trail the soul brought with it from its most previous life. I can see this, its past undoing. I can see the things that got it into trouble in the past, the things it's afraid of. The 12th house, I call it the karmic closet because it's where the soul has buried all of the things it wants to forget in the unconscious. And based on that, they were all improper programming from the past life. And as a result of improper programming, the soul suppressed talents, suppressed fears. And in this lifetime, the soul promised to open the closet and look at them. Not necessarily heal them, but at least look at them and address them in the broad light of day to bring them into the consciousness. Just because, as you know, most ghosts and boogeymen disappear the minute that light hits them. And that's mm-hmm. the reason for the 12th house. I start there. And then I start at the sun, because the sun tells me, again, your karmic degree, where what your universal level of education is, and the sun's house, what you said you were going to do with it. Now, as I say in the book, the inner planets, the personal planets, as every astrologer will tell you, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, these are the personal planets, and these are the planets that I believe we use in this lifetime to fulfill our contract. These are the planets of energy, action. These are the planets of attraction. These are the planets that we go about using. They represent a lot of different things in the chart to fulfill our contract. The outer planets are the soul's planets. And those are, to me, and a lot of other astrologers, the karmic markers, the points in the contract that were left over from yesterday and never really completed. So in addition to doing today's work, these inner planets have to clean up from yesterday as well. When they start addressing yesterday, everything falls into place for them today, has been my experience. And this is why I feel a lot of astrologers will just focus on the inner planets, and many of them will say in books, or many people feel that in books, that these are generational planets, and as a result, they don't go into too much the sign that they're positioned in, because they believe entire generations were born when each one of these outer planets were wending their way through a constellation. And my feeling is, yes, they were entire generations, but that's because of the mass karma aspect of it. That's because these souls came back on the same level to address certain issues and earned their karmic stripes in one particular field. But they all have these planets in different houses. So they all have different things to do with this energy that they earned together. And I think that's why many times we'll feel connected to certain souls that we meet in this lifetime, and we don't know why. We've shared past very, you know, pivotal, gut-wrenching experiences with other people in previous lifetimes, and that's how our soul has evolved. And now we come back into this lifetime to clean up and to finish what we started. And this is the difference between, for me and for this book, the inner planets and the outer planets. They both have tremendous impact on the chart and our lives, but for different reasons.
In your course of study, Marguerite, did you take into any account of like the moon? A lot of people talk about the moon, and I don't know a lot about the moon, you know, aspect. So, is there an importance to the moon, or is there a different kind of aspect to the moon?
Absolutely, and that might even be my next book. The moon is significant and tremendously important to the chart. Is that that reflects your emotional needs and your emotion, where you think of the sun as your desire and your ego here in this lifetime, along with Mars. The moon is what, the moon is the mother in the chart. The moon is what supplies that ego with the warm coat and the warm belly that it needs to get on with the day's work. So without the moon, really there wouldn't be no emotional aspect to our lives. And a lot of astrologers feel that the moon is a reflection of your past. It is, but it's the to me, and in karmic astrology, it's a different past. It's the past, not so much of the soul as much as the past in this lifetime, our nostalgia, our upbringing, our home life, our mother, which is all very critical and very necessary. But the moon in the chart represents the mother in you and the mother in your life. And what I tell people when I pick up the moon, very many times, these karmic planets are making aspects to the moon, and that's very, very, very significant. I have yet to come across a birth chart when I have done a karmic reading where the outer natal planets were in one way or another aspecting every single inner natal planet. And that makes sense, because then the integrity of the chart, it completes the chart, and it shows that it is a work in progress, and then everything is relying on each other. And the moon is no exception. The moon is very, very significant. I can look at a moon in a chart, and I can't tell you what your mother was, but what I can tell you is how you experienced her. And that's what I tell people. The mother should never be afraid of having the moon in their children's chart read, because every one of their children would probably have a moon in a different place, a different aspect, and a different sign, simply because it's not really a representation of what the mother was. It's a representation of how the soul experienced her, or their upbringing. And if you believe, like I do, that the mother and the soul came together for reasons for the soul to learn and to improve and to advance, that makes no difference on any level. It's not an accountability for the mother. It's more of an accountability for the soul.
Okay. Because, again, a lot of people will say, "What? Where's your moon?"
Yeah, that's very important, because the moon tells me, if I were to look in a chart, and the first thing an astrologer will say to get a profile on who you are is looking at your sun, your level of expertise, your universal degree, and your moon, your emotional wants and needs. How do you feel about what do you need in life? And that's what the moon represents. What do you need to get there? It's your emotional needs. So if you were somebody that came into this lifetime and you were born with a moon in Aquarius, you would absolutely need to be mentally stimulated. You would absolutely need to know what's out there, what's beyond the now knowledge. Those are your needs. You would be somebody that was involved in anything futuristic or high tech, because you need to be. That's what fulfills your needs to help you fulfill the desires of your Mars and your Sun. And that's basically mom putting the coat on you and giving you something to eat before you go out for the day. And that's why I will tell people that if you look at the moon in someone's chart, very, very, very quite often you will find that they actually pull toward them people of that sun sign, or who have major planets in the same sign of their moon, simply because those are things that they need. So, of course, they're attracted to people who represent them.
Mm-hmm. What is the importance of, say, Saturn in your chart?
Saturn is the taskmaster of the universe. In ancient days, in the very beginning when we had our ancient astronomers, this planet was, as far as they could see, the last planet in the world. This planet was making its weary way around the sun in an orbit that took a lifetime, because in those days, people lived till about the age of 30, and here was this planet with this unthinkable orbit of 29 and a half years to get around the sun. So naturally, this was a very patient, a very hardworking, a very methodical, and a very tough planet to be able to do something like that. It was incredible. And on top of all that, it was not only doing that, but it was out there holding down the end of the universe for the rest of us as well. So they saw Saturn as the planet of limitation and as the planet of boundaries. And that's exactly what it represents in the chart. It's our restrictive boundaries that make us grow up. That's why it represents Dad in the chart. It's our, and our first authority figures. Saturn is the planet that we our lesson to learn in this lifetime, because our soul promised from its previous life that it would learn a lesson, a physical lesson down here on this planet, but it improperly programmed in the past. There was a tremendous lack of some kind in the previous lifetime that our soul was too weak to address and walked away from. So we promised to address it in this lifetime. So guess what? We come into this life with an authority figure that reminds us that this is what we have to work on. So if nothing else, karmic astrology teaches us we can stop blaming Mom and Dad for all the problems in our life. They were put there to remind us what our soul chose. Kind of takes me off the hook, Nancy. I have three kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of people have a bunch of kids, and it's like, okay, that's a breeze.
Right, and you know, and not only that, but it is, I think it's even healthier in so many respects to look at it that way, because then it's a sense of empowerment for the soul. We can't stand around wringing our hands and pointing fingers and assigning blame if we want to get on with the business of evolution and getting to the next level.
Marguerite, if somebody would like to get a hold of you, is there a website they can go to, a phone number? Would you like to give out, you know, both or either or?
That's surely it. My website is www.marguerite.manning.com, and that's MarguerIte. And they can purchase the book Cosmic Karma there. They can purchase it on Amazon.com, or they can go to the Llewellyn website and take a look around there. Llewellyn has a cool website as well.
If somebody wanted to have you do a chart on them, how would they, you know, let you know that or contact you?
On my website, I have an email address there for people who are interested in a karmic reading and all of that I need, and it's absolutely necessary to have the exact date, time, and city of your birth as it appears on the birth chart. I ask people, please don't ask Mom. Go to the birth chart, because I am a mother. I've been in the delivery room, and if I had to remember, I would be so off if I wasn't looking at the birth chart. And in this particular, well, in all astrology, the time is really necessary. But because your contract is based on what houses each one of these planets were in, that is determined by the time of day you were born. Many times these planets are in constellations for weeks, years, and many years. But where they were in aspect to the Earth is all dependent upon the time of day, and those are the clauses in your contract. So I need the exact time that you were born. If you don't have an exact time, I can give you some limited information about your degree and a few other things in the chart, but there are astrologers out there that specialize in rectification, and I know quite a few of them that will actually take major events in your life, and based on that, on the day of your birth, actually rectify the chart and come up with a birth time for you that's amazingly accurate.
Okay, great. What if somebody was born on leap year?
That's no different. There's always an exact time, date. As long as the date and time were taken down correctly, that makes no difference at all. Because at some point or another, Nancy, the sun and the planets have to be somewhere. And if we know the moment you came in, we can find them.
Okay. Because a lot of times people say, you know, I was born on leap year day, and I only have a birthday every 4 years.
And you know what? They don't. They have a birth. There's only a 29th every 4 years, but they were born at exactly that particular time. It's no problem finding where the sun was at that moment.
Mm-hmm. There is a person who clicked in. So, hello, are you there?
A question for Marguerite.
Hello?
Can
you talk a little bit louder, please?
Hi there, this is Erin, and I have a question for Marguerite.
Hello, Erin.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, hon.
Okay, I heard you earlier talking about the sun and the moon and stuff, and I've had my chart read before, and people have told me a lot about, you know, what my sun placement means, what my moon placement means, but I was kind of hoping if I gave you my birth information, you could tell me a little bit more about my karmic planets, because I've never really had that read before.
Sure, Erin. Tell me, what time of day were you, when were you born?
I was born July 13th, 1982.
Do you know the time?
4:38 p.m.
Good girl. And, but 1 second, the city.
Stanhope, New Jersey.
H-O-P-E?
Yes.
Okay. 1 second here, Erin. Oh, okay. Now let's look at this. Aaron, you come up with a nice juicy Cancer sun there in your eighth house. You have work to do. How old? Oh, I see how old you are. Okay. Listen, young lady, I can say that to you. I hope you're going about the business of making a big difference in this world, because that's what you signed up for with this Cancer sun of yours.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. You know, and let me tell you something, Aaron. When you have a Cancer sun here in the eighth house, you're not going to be happy unless you're down there in the gut-wrenching trenches and somehow involved with the really either horrific or transformational traumatic events in life that affect people, because you're here to make a difference. And when you have a son like you do, you have superior abilities to be, because you earned them, your soul earned them, they weren't just given to you. Your soul knows how to make other people feel as if they belong, no matter where you are or where they are. And I hope you, this is a really powerful placement, and I hope you're doing your best to live up to it, because when you do, Aaron, you are going to shine tremendously. There's so much about this chart that I could tell you, but the one thing I do want to tell you is that you came into this incarnation with Scorpio on your 12th house. Just to give you wanted to know something about your karma. That's where I want to start.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's ever told me anything about it.
Okay, that's why I want to start there, or just to give you a brief synopsis about your 12th. Your soul's previous existence, by coming in with Scorpio on the 12th, your soul's previous existence was one of, again, isn't this interesting, and I say it never fails, looking at your sun there, and I just told you what your sun was here to do in the 8th house, well, guess what? Your soul's previous existence was one of surviving the powerful and unknown forces of nature, which means some kind of life-changing consequences as a result of a revolution, death, or catastrophe in your last life left you dependent on the charity or the largesse of others, and harboring as well a profound feeling of powerlessness. So that means survival was your priority in that life. So the overwhelming experience of either emotional abuse, physical violence, or some kind of drastic separation from your family or loved ones was deeply buried at that time and dangerously neglected, and now it's here back in this lifetime. And you promised the cosmos that you would address it. As a result, because of this past life, Aaron, you now have incredible instincts and phenomenal crisis management skills that I hope to see you using over there in the eighth house. You can uncover powerful reserves and cleverly handle the property or secrets of others in this lifetime, because your hidden strengths are exceptional courage and fierce determination. Your past undoing came as a result of secret liaisons and shared assets and trying to access power because you were feeling so powerless. This past left you with a deep need for intimacy, but yet a kind of hair trigger defense system, which you have to keep in check in this lifetime, Aaron, or it could get you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
you have to remember that
right. You
have powerful abilities to be intimate, but people don't feel that way automatically about you, and that might make you defensive sometimes. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Do you think that's, like, I would say that I'm emotional, but I'm very intense with my relationships. You know, I'll go in, like, I'm just very intense with the people that I care about, and I feel like a lot of times they're not necessarily on the same page, not because they don't care, but because they don't care that way.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying here. And tell me, when that happens, do you get defensive and want to, like, blow up the hemisphere?
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that, okay?
No.
No nuclear weapons. Not tonight, anyway.
All right.
Yeah, it's really funny, because while I was listening to you, Margarita, I pulled over some cards for her also. And it's funny because she comes up as a Queen of Swords. Queen of Swords is somebody whose emotions do go up and down a lot, like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Okay. But it also means that you need to learn to be very strong, very stern. When you do say no to somebody, you really need to make sure that they understand you mean no.
Yeah.
And other people will look at you and they'll think that, you know, man, she's you know, really hard to deal with. She doesn't let anybody close. She's very shut down. And so you yourself may want to help explain to people that, you know, they should really get to know you before they make a judgment call like that.
Right. No, that's very true.
Nancy, everything you just said is so prevalent in her chart.
Mm-hmm.
And which just shows you that there are so many ways in this universe to access the information that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny, because you're not a bad person at all. But people tend to look at you and think that you can either be stuck up or that you don't care about something.
It's all the intensity in her chart from the past.
Yeah.
She's in survival mode, and they're going over to the picnic grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the difference.
That's how I feel a lot of times, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you're running from through a war zone as far as you're concerned.
Right.
And they're on their way to the merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. You have
exactly.
to remember that.
And I'm just like, don't these people realize how important this is? Wow, that's really amazing. You hit the nail right on the head there.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much for calling in, Erin.
It was a pleasure.
And thank you, Marguerite. I'll be sure to get your book.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Now, Marguerite, let's give out the title for your book again, your website, and how people can get in contact with you.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. My book is called Cosmic Karma, Understanding Your Contract with the Universe. And my website is www.marguerite.manning.com. And you can purchase the book on my website, or you can purchase it on the Llewellyn website or at Amazon.com. And let me tell you, Nancy, to all of your listeners tonight, whether they call in or not, if anybody is within the sound of my voice listening to you, if they go onto my website and email me with their birth, their exact birth time, city, and date of birth, I will, by return email, send them back their very own Cosmic Karma birth charts.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. You're welcome. Who are listening. Now, you had another book called The 12th House, Your Karmic Closet.
That was an article that I had written for Mountain Astrologer, I'd say about 10 years ago. That was one of the first articles I ever wrote in Mountain Astrologer, which was a magazine that I just love, and it's one of the leading astrology magazines, picked it up and published it. And
now, then, can people get a copy of that?
I've tried this to get a back issue of that. They might be coming out. I think you can go onto their website and get back issues of that article.
Okay.
But there's also another article right now that's on the Llewellyn website called Cosmic Sense, Our Unconscious Connection to the Universe, and you can definitely get a copy of that by just logging on to the Llewellyn website or to my own website. And this is basically an article talking about our ancient astronomers and how I admired the fact of what they did and what we're doing today, and how people would be surprised at how they practiced astronomy and astrology. To them, it was one science, and there was no separating the two.
Okay. How would you like to tell the listeners how you spell Llewellyn so that they go to the site without a lot of problems?
Surely. It's Llewellyn.
Okay. Is it .com?
.com.
Now, there's another beep, so I'm sure there's another caller. So, caller, are you there? Hello? Nope, maybe they hung up. So I'm going to ask you some more questions. How's
sure.
When people come, you know, like whether they email you, do you do appointments in person if they're in the area?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So if somebody comes to see you in person, about how long does it take for you to do a reading for them or a chart for them?
Well, when I do, whether they're with me in person or over the phone, it's usually about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Because, you know what, Nancy, it's actually a reading as well as a counseling session, and you'd be surprised at how much information flows back and forth. And I used to just, you know, call it a one-hour reading, and then I had to start getting realistic about it because I was taking up 2 hours of people's time, whether I was on the phone or whether we were in person. And if people are not in my area, that's not a problem. For the cost of the private reading, I pick up the tab for the phone call, no matter where they are, so they don't have to worry about that. And when the reading is over, we stay on the phone or in the session until every one of their questions are answered. So it's not as if they're being rushed, and I think that's the most important part of the reading. At the very end, when they get an opportunity to ask me questions about what they based on their energies, what their soul prompts to do, and where they can direct their energies. And once you're one of my clients, you're always one of my clients, because as long as you have the time to shoot me an email and ask me a question about your particular chart, or if you're on the right path, or if this sounds good to you, I have the time to get back to you.
Because, like, you sent me out a chart, and it was quite interesting. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 that are in color, which are apparently, you know, the ones that we're talking about in your book.
Right.
Okay. So if somebody gets a chart from you and they see four of them that are in color, it's just because that's, you know, what you're kind of focused on when you're doing this reading and chart for them.
Right, and I think the night that I sent you the charts, I think that we were a little distracted by events that were going on that night. But when I send out the charts, and I should resend your charts, I actually put right there, this is what to make it easy to read with the book or without, your karmic planet placement. So I'll say to you, they are will, are in color, but I'll say, okay, like yours, Nancy, you know, you have an eighth house sun.
Mm-hmm.
Karmic sun in the eighth house, kind of like our last caller there. And then I'll say where your Saturn is so that, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of looking if you're not familiar with these glyphs, these scary-looking glyphs for planets and houses and signs. Oh, my. You know, it's, when you're not familiar with a birth chart, it can be kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, because when you look at the chart, I mean, I have a lot of things all over mine.
You know, you do, and that's the way it would appear to somebody that isn't super involved in the astrology. But when I'm looking at your chart, everything keeps coming back to that eighth house, very much like I told this caller that just called up. The only difference is you're supposed to be doing it with that brilliant, sizzling Leo degree, and she's supposed to be doing it with that intimate, juicy Cancer degree. You're both here to make a difference. And as a result, I'm not, you might be a little bit more, you might, I know you are more skilled at handling the idea of the intensity than a Cancer sun would be, in the sense that you can get up close and personal with these forces of nature and understand that they're not on the same level as you. You don't want them to be, you know, because that's where you belong. And that's your role in the scheme of things. With a Cancer, it's a little bit different. You're here to lead the way. In that respect, not to make them feel as if they belong, which is a totally different job and a really important one as well. You're here to show them how to get there.
Okay, now there was another beep, so let's see. Do we have another caller?
Yes, we do.
And
are you there?
Can I have your name, please?
It's Marie.
Marie. Yes.
Yes.
How about if we give the date of birth, the time, and the location?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling for. October 22nd, 1946. 2:17 a.m. Chicago.
Did you say October 22nd, Marie?
Yes, ma'am.
1946.
Yep.
And you said Chicago, Illinois?
Yes, ma'am.
And what's the date of, what's the time of birth on?
2:17 a.m.
2:17 a.m., correct? I'm just,
right.
Okay. I'm only keep repeating myself because I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Okay, let's see what we have for you. Here, Marie. Okay, Marie, you came into this incarnation. I'm looking at your beautiful Libra sun down there in the second house. And when you have a Libra degree like yours, you come into this world believing that your life really doesn't exist without someone standing next to you. You're very other-oriented driven, and you just can't take your eyes off the fact that you're so other-oriented, you're more concerned with the people standing next to you than yourself. But you know what? It's supposed to be that way for a lot of reasons. But the difference with you, Marie, is that you're not supposed to get lost in that. You're not supposed to lose your identity. You came from an existence where you learned in your universal degree is teaching us what balanced, cooperative relationships look like. So nobody understands the art of symmetry more than you. Nobody understands the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law more than you. Nobody understands how to bring harmony and beauty and symmetry and balance into relationships. Nobody gets more appalled when it's not there because that's your job, that's your degree. What did you say you were going to do with it, though? You said you were going to come in here and chose it, which is, I think, interesting. The rest of us, self-worth and a good value system, which means, Marie, you can't get lost in relationships. You must be an individual in them. And that's going to be a little difficult for you, especially when you have Leo on the 12th house like you do. Mm-hmm. Because you came in your past, and I don't mean to be racing for you here, but I want to get some information to
sure.
you. But in your past, you came in, the incarnation that you came in from when you have Leo on the 12th tells me that your previous lifetime, your previous existence was one of personal distinction, creative brilliance, and courageous leadership in this past incarnation. But somehow, Maria, humiliating fall from grace of some kind left your self-esteem bruised, and you had no alternative than to bury your ego. So now, as a result, in this lifetime, your ability to dominate so completely and govern so effectively is well concealed. People don't get that until it's tested. They don't realize just how good you are at those things because you've suppressed them, which means you've suppressed me. If you've suppressed your ego, you've suppressed your identity. But isn't it interesting? You came into this world to talk about relationships, not about yourself. So that makes it even worse for you in the sense that you want the spotlight, but you don't feel comfortable being in it because your soul is remembering everything that happened yesterday. Well, you promised the universe that was going to go bye-bye. You promised the universe that what you were going to do in this lifetime is realize that it had nothing to do with being in power. It had nothing to do with being a leader in the last lifetime that got you into trouble. It had to do with the feeling that you felt that you were bulletproof, that you felt that you were such a wonderful leader, nothing could happen to you, and you were less responsible about being a leader. But you were a great leader. So now what you must do in this lifetime is recognize that fact. Nobody's asking you to heal it or fix it. But as a result of this last lifetime, you'll find that you work best alone, independently, or in a secluding setting, or in a secluded setting, because you have an aversion now to being responsible for others on some level. Some people with Leo on the 12th even unconsciously avoid positions of leadership, authority, and even parenthood. I've seen people who have been infertile because they don't want that responsibility of being responsible for other people. They feel so bad about what happened in the last lifetime. You're here to address that in this lifetime, Marie. You're here to stare it square in the face, and your life, you can be a tremendous healer in this lifetime with Leo on the 12th. You're often the power behind the throne, and it's often your best-kept secret. Your past influences in your most previous life, you were some kind of ruler, politician, royalty, leader, entertainer, artist, teacher. But what you promised the universe that you would understand in this lifetime is that to get the applause, you have to move into the spotlight. You can't do it from behind the throne.
Ouch.
I know. The 12th is always a big ouch.
But
I'm curious, Marie, with this sign on the 12th, you have things to do. And you just think of all that stuff you have under your belt. And this is your fear. Try to release it. Whistle past the graveyard. Give it a shot.
Okay.
Somebody who is a Leo sun in your lifetime, in this lifetime, somebody who has a sun in Leo would be a big help to you. Because they fall into your 12th house, and they can be a brilliant example of how effortless this is.
Nancy's got her
Okay, Nancy, there you go. You will see that
I work with Nancy.
I tell people that a really good clue, if they want to look at their birth chart, look at the sign on their 12th house.
Uh-huh.
And if you know anybody with a sun or a moon that falls into that sign, they're someone from your past, and they can be a big help to you in getting over that 12th house in this lifetime.
I'll be there. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marie.
You're welcome.
It's really interesting because Marie, so that everybody knows, is actually my PR person, and we've been working together for not quite a year yet, and we talk quite a lot, and we try to help out each other as much as we can. And it all, so that you know, Marguerite, everything that you said to her about the Leo contact and how they can help actually falls right into line with what's going on with Marie right now.
Well, isn't that funny? And what a beautiful job to have with a Libra sun.
Mm-hmm.
Other people being other-oriented, and her whole profession is depends on other people because she's placing them, she's making them look good, but she can't get lost in the process either.
Right, and that's why I keep trying to tell her.
Isn't that interesting? See, now you're the Leo sun, you know that. You know what? A Leo would rather chew on nails for about 12 months than get lost in any process.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's, getting lost is not even anywhere in your... You can't even reconcile that idea.
Marguerite, let's give out the name of your book again and your website so people know how they can get a hold of you.
Surely. The name of the book, thank you, Nancy, is Cosmic Karma, Understanding Your Contract with the Universe. And you can just log on to Borders, and or you can log on to Amazon.com, or you can just Google the book's name and pick it up anywhere. It's all over the place at Borders, at Target, at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. And you can come right to my website. If you come to my website tonight, whether you buy the book or not, I'd be happy to send you your own cosmic karma chart. Just log on to my website at www.marguerite.manning.com. And on one of the email addresses, send me the exact date, time, and city of your birth, and I'll be happy to send you back your own cosmic karma birth chart with all the karmic planets spelled out for you where they are.
It's really very, very nice of you to do that for the listeners. We're almost out of time, but I'm going to ask you one more question.
Sure.
Things we have to answer quickly, okay?
Sure.
When twins, identical twins, are born, mm-hmm. they're only usually born, you know, maybe a couple minutes apart.
Right.
Is their chart going to come up the same way, or is there going to be different aspects in their chart?
Their chart is going to come up differently because every single 2 minutes are our I'm losing my mind here now. Every single 2 minutes, we click forward in our on our axis, and the chart actually moves ahead in your birth chart. So we are ticking by each constellation every single degree. Every 2 minutes, we're ticking by another degree. So in this way, when a twin is born, just say it's only 5 minutes between twins, that will actually be a 10-degree difference in their rising sign by the time that they're born. So if their rising sign is different, the planets are falling into different houses in their chart. Now, there'll be a lot of commonalities in their chart, no doubt about it, because they are twins. And they did come into, their souls did come in together for a reason, but no way are they identical. They'll probably have the exact same degree, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes if they're 10 minutes apart, the sun could actually be in a different constellation, and that has happened. They found out, after doing some study, that there's actually more commonality between stellar twins than there actually is between identical twins. And stellar twins are when two souls come into this earth at the exact time, in the exact hospital, at the exact moment, in the exact city, that there's much more, they have much more in common than to the point where it's actually eerie, Nancy, where they marry people with the same name, their children are named the same. It's almost eerily similar, their lives,
yeah,
where they're in the same profession. So it's almost as if the soul, and which says, speaks even more to the fact that when you choose basic energies, you only come to this planet when the universe moves into those energies so that you can be brought, those circumstances, those people, and those events can be brought to you so that you can fulfill your contract.
Very interesting. I have had a great time having you as a guest, and I'm sure all the listeners had a great time. Cosmic Karmic, look up the book, get it. It's really, really good. I read it. Like I said, I compared my daughter, myself, and my granddaughter, and it really hit every single one of us, so I thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And your little granddaughter there is a powerhouse. And
oh, yeah.
I'm sure you're aware of it. I have her chart in front of me as we speak, and she has, I'm glad she's coming to someone with the Leo in their chart that you have, Nancy, because with all the Aquarius going on in her chart, it's a perfect balance. That's the polar opposite.
Good.
And it's a very good, I think you're going to be a shining example of what intellectual leadership looks like to her, because that's what she's here for.
Great. No, she's very, very good. Her initials are TNT.
See, now there's no such thing as accidents, Nancy. I want you to know that.
No, there isn't. Anyway, thank you very, very much for being on the show. And I'd like to thank you, the listeners, and hopefully everybody enjoyed themselves as much as I did.
Me too.
God bless all of you.
Thank you very much, Nancy. It was
You're
a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Take care and have a nice week. Bye
you
now.
You too. Bye-bye now.